ください。Alright, so Exodus chapter 3, and we've been looking through a history of prayer in the Bible, people of prayer in the Bible, and so we want to begin looking at the prayer life of Moses. There's quite a lot of scripture to cover. We'll just kind of get into it tonight. But we see with, like, if we look at Moses' prayer life, really any mention of it or understanding of it, it doesn't really come in the scriptures until the time that God calls him. When he's 80 years old, we know his history, that first 40 years he was raised in Egypt. He was essentially one of royalty in many ways, but yet he decided to refuse to be called the son of Herod's daughter or son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be with his own people. He sought to deliver them, but it was in self-will. It was not as God had directed, and it met with failure, and he had to flee. And so he spent 40 years basically kind of not being a nobody, being out in the desert looking after sheep, one of the most menial jobs, especially you think amongst the Egyptians, that it was, shepherds were an abomination to them, and so it was definitely a step down. But we see chapter 3 of Exodus, this is where it begins, really what we look at it. That he kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And so we see, just as we saw with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, that God initiates the relationship, that God speaks to him, God talks with him, and he has a plan for him, a purpose, and he wants to share that with him. And so he calls out to him, but we see as he draws near, it says, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. That we think of it in that way, that we recognize that it is not something that we need to fear in that sense, as they did in the Old Testament, the thought, well, if they came before God, that they could be struck down. Because of what Christ has done, we are accepted in the Beloved. But yet it is something we recognize, that when we approach unto God, seek to have a relationship with Him, seek to enter into prayer with Him, that it is something that we should enter in with a reverence, with an honor of God, that it isn't something we do flippantly or carelessly, that we do it honoring Him for who He is. And so we see that God reveals Himself to him. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And you think of it in that time, that he just, whether he maybe felt some shame with anyone, I think, just the same as with Isaiah, that when he saw the image of God in the heavens, that it frightened him, that it was a fearful thing. And so Moses had that awe and respect of God. And so we see God lays forth His plan. He says that He's seen the affliction of His people. He knows their sorrows. And God has come down to deliver them. And He says, okay, I've heard the cry of them. Come now, therefore, verse 10, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. That God is calling him to take the leadership of his people. That God is the one that's going to deliver them. But he wants to use Moses to be his spokesman, to be his leader. And so we see through the remainder of the chapter that in the next chapter that Moses essentially argues with God. And of course, whenever we argue with God, we know we can't win. But it is something that we see that Moses doesn't have really a faith in himself. He thinks that he's a failure. He thinks that he's essentially done with his life. You think of it, he's 80 years old. For most, you would think that would be, he'd be thinking, well, I don't have much more to do with my life, but God had a lot more that he wanted done with his life. And so God had to work with him. God had to show him the truth, kind of reassure him. But we see an honesty with it, that he has these questions, he has these doubts, and he goes to God and he answers them. And these reassurances, like, what is thy name? And so he tells him who he is. And God basically gives him kind of the plan beforehand and how it's going to happen, that he's going to go to Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh is not going to let them go. And it's so that God can do wonders in the midst of Egypt. And then at the end of that, that they will actually push them out of the land, and that they will take spoil from the Egyptians. And so we see these reassurances. We see that God even gives them different miracles to show as a sign that God has sent him. And yet he still says, well, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm not capable of doing this. And the Lord said unto him, Exodus 4, verse 11, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or seeing of the blind, have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And that's something that we want to think of it, again, with prayer. Of course, it's not simply us telling God what we want. We realize it is a relationship. He is God, and a lot of times there's things that he wants to tell us that he wants from us, things that he wants us to do, directions he wants us to take, steps of faith he wants us to make. And we can think that it's not possible. We can tend to limit God, but we want to realize that he can do anything, that nothing is impossible with him, that he delights in using us if we in the world would think that we're inadequate or that we're not capable anymore, that God can use us in that way, that he will teach us what to say, he will teach us what to do. And so we see he continues, and the Lord is very patient with Moses, but he actually got angry with him for a bit because he said, well, I need a spokesman. And so he gave him his brother Aaron, his older brother, to speak for him for a time. And so then we see that he heads out. He's going to return to Egypt. And it's interesting that we see verse 24, he was on his way to do the Lord's will. But we see it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. And as we read down, what happened is that he was the leader of God's people. He was going to be the leader of God's people. But yet he hadn't done what was essentially one of the most basic things as a Jewish father, and that was circumcise his son. And because he had failed to do that, the Lord actually was going to kill him for that. But then Zipporah, his wife, did it herself, and then he was free from that. But it is an understanding of the seriousness of things that is, like, Lord may have us to do, but we have some obligations that he wants us to fulfill. And sometimes we realize he's calling us to some, there's things that need to be taken care of before that, and before he can use us. And so we need to be sensitive and allow him to search us so that we can be aware of those things. So then we see that Moses went, he met with his brother Aaron, and then they went before the people and told them everything that was going to happen. And so Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And we see that Pharaoh didn't say yes. He made things didn't get worse, or things didn't get better, they got a lot worse. That he said, "Oh, well, I'm not going to give them straw anymore to make brick. They're going to have to find their own straw, but yet they're going to have to keep with the same amount of brick." And so we see how things went with Moses, that he looked at himself as being incapable, of being a failure, of having no ability himself. And in many ways we see he was almost proven right, you would think. And this is something that we'll see with Moses, that the pattern, whenever the people are dissenting against him or speaking against him, whenever they're criticizing him, challenging his judgment, he does best when we see that he turns to the Lord and he talks with the Lord about it. He asks questions, he wonders, why is this happening? It's when he, usually if he gets angry, if he gets frustrated, that's when he gets himself into a lot of trouble. But we see that this was something that was kind of a hallmark of Moses. He was a meek man, and when things happened, he would cry unto God. He says, "What do I do? I don't know what to do." And God would tell him. God would explain things to him so he would understand. And we see that Moses returned to the Lord and said, verse 22 of Exodus 5, "Wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." And the thing is, he's seeing things and he's not understanding, but he's going to the right place to find the answers. He says, "Lord, I don't understand. I don't see what's going on." And so we see chapter 6 and verse 1 that he reassures, "You're going to see now what I'm going to do to Pharaoh, that he's going to let you go, that he's going to drive you out of the land." And so he explains to him what he has seen, what he is going to do. He gives them that promise. He declares that he is going to give them the land that he swore to their fathers. And so we see that he continues and he comes before Pharaoh once again. And oh, we see Exodus chapter 6, that verse 28 says, "It came to pass in the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" And so again we see he didn't understand, he didn't know how this would work. It just didn't make sense, but the Lord said, just go. And we see verse 1 of chapter 7, "The Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." And he explains things. He actually warns him that he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart, that Pharaoh's not going to hearken to them to start with, because God's going to bring great judgment upon Egypt. And we see what happens is that Moses obeyed, that he did as the Lord commanded him, verse 6. And that's the thought. We saw that with Abraham, the relationship that he had with God, that even though the Lord might ask him different things that he didn't understand, that didn't make sense to him, whether it was leaving everything he knew and went to a land that God would show him, whether it was believing in this promise of a son when he had no children by his wife was barren, when God asked him to sacrifice his son, that he didn't understand it, but he obeyed. He did what God asked him to do. And we see this with Moses, that he's not understanding it. It doesn't make sense. He doesn't see how God can do it. And a lot of it we see that it's not that he doesn't think God could do it per se, it's that he doesn't think God could use him. But it's almost a challenge in that way to God when we have that attitude, that he says, well, I can prove to you that I can use it, even though you don't think that I can. And we see that he obeyed, that he did as the Lord commanded him. And as he started to obey, that's when things started to happen. And that's what we have to realize, that God has much that he wants to speak to us about, much that he wants us to understand, what he wants us to do, work that he would have us to do for him. And we need to be listening to what he has to say, being open to it. There might be a lot of things that don't make sense to us right away, but we need to obey them anyways, and we need to do what the Lord commands us to do. And as we do that, just as we saw with Abraham, that's when the relationship is really strengthened. Because if anything, can two walk together except they be agreed? And in the relationship we have, that it is the God of heaven and earth and us as finite human beings, that if we're going to walk together, it only makes sense that he says, this is the way that I want you to go, and that we obey and we follow him. That if he leads us and we say, no, I don't want to do that, I'm not going to do that, then the relationship is not what it should be. And so may Lord help us that we would do that, that we would learn from Abraham and from Moses the thought that as the Lord instructs us, the Lord directs us, we need to obey him. And as we do that, our relationship is strengthened, and then we really see God begin to work in our lives and through us into the lives of others. All right, so that's the lesson for tonight.